I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. Last year, Justin Trump, who joins me now, held a fundraising event showcasing local comedic talent. It raised money for a local family. He's back with another night of laughs, Uber Comedy, Saturday the 15th of February at the Inlet Theatre in Port Moody. Proceeds from the event will benefit the Canadian Mental Health Association. Justin will host, and the evening will feature comedians Brett Martin, Steve Letts, Tammy Hu, Hector Rivas, Angelica Sanger. Visit eventbrite.com for tickets. They're $25, and because one can have an alcoholic beverage or four, the event is strictly 19+. I'll ask Justin about the impetus for raising money, comedy, and what to expect on the 15th. Justin Trump is a comedian and the fleet manager for a local towing company here in Vancouver, a company, incidentally, that I have been employed by for a number of years. His Instagram handle is @TrumpJustin. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program, Justin Trump. Mr. Trump, good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So this is the second year, the motivation to raise money last year for a family, a local family, one that we both know, this year for the Canadian Mental Health Association, where does that come from? Why do you want to do this, say?
Well, originally the family raised money for, I just saw a need, and just combined two things I like doing was raising money for somebody that needed something, and I liked doing comedy, and someone else sort of said, try a fundraiser, and I said, oh, that's a great idea. A lot of work, but I enjoy it. It's just something to have to do.
Now, I remember last year's event, having been there, the house was almost full, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think I had about a 75% sell on the seating, and they take back seats, so it might appear that way.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a pretty good, you know, rate of.
Yeah, you know what? For the first time, I badgered people to come out, and I put a lot of like social media work, texting friends, you know, guilting people into come. It worked it a little bit.
And so this year, the beneficiary of the proceeds is a Canadian Mental Health Association. How do you choose an organization like that?
I think it's I hate to say it's topical and trendy, but I think it's pretty important. A lot of people, I think we all have a touch of it, times where we just, oh, geez, I wonder if I feel off today. And
we know everybody, right?
Yeah.
So everybody knows somebody who deals with us.
Yes, and I think that. I find that the worst thing I see in this world sometimes is people who have a lot of talent, and it gets ruined by me. I don't know if you want to call it mental health or whatever condition they suffer from, but I think it all comes back to that sometimes. So it's a nice organization to assist, and like you said, Joe, we all know somebody that's affected by it.
Now, we're not going to promote the overindulgence of alcohol, but if people buy a drink at this thing on Saturday the 15th, proceeds from that as well will go.
Yes, so all the money raised will go to the Mental Health Association, Canadian Mental Health Association. It's an event. Yeah, it's just an event fundraiser. I do pay out the comics, and that's another piece of it. I think I find that charities are great, and it's coupled with paying the comics because the comics put a lot of work into this writing and stuff, and they don't get a lot of pay for what they do, and it's just something extra to give to the sort of community of comedians that I'm part of.
Yeah, and they're all there are these the six of you. I guess you're all local, aren't you?
Yeah. So all these comedians I've met just in the city of Vancouver. I've either done some writing with them, or I've done a course or a class. Brett Martin, for example, he runs a course out of Yuck Yucks, just how to write comedy and just how to stand up and deliver jokes. It's about a 6-week course, and it's once a week, and that's where I met Brett formally.
And is it him or is it Steve Letts that did the? Because I saw this on YouTube, the CTV thing, or the Comedy Channel thing that did a piece of stand up.
Brett Martin he's worked with the Comedy Channel,
yeah.
And I'm not positive on Steve. Steve is actually coming out with an album. He's just going to be releasing now with 604 Records.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they signed a lot of comedians.
A lot of great local comedians have had albums in the last few years from
Yeah,
from
Sean that McDonald label. From yeah. Our last event that you were attending, Joe.
Yeah.
He was signed by them, and Steve's now. He's doing one. And they signed a few other comedians in the city, local comedians.
Hector Rivas, he was on last year's bill, wasn't he?
Yes, Hector's, he's kind of, him and I are a little closer in the comedy world. You kind of develop these relationships, and Hector's nice because he sees things differently than I would another English-speaking guy. It's nice to have somebody that I can cross stuff with and test jokes out with. He's a good guy for that.
And that's the thing that it struck me with his set last year, because he's, where is he from, Colombia?
Venezuela.
Venezuela, pardon me. How comedy just seems to be. It's all about the timing. It's not, you know, the language is obviously to play to a certain audience. But it's all timing, and it's just the whatever you bring to the enthusiasm that you portray on the stage, I suppose, right?
Correct, yeah. They use the word comic timing, Joe. That's... it's pretty well known in when you're in the business, but Hector, yeah, he's pretty well versed in how to deliver a joke. I remember writing a joke with him one time, and we just had the shell of the joke, and he's like, "Okay, I'm gonna go away now, and I'm gonna write the joke." And I was like, "Oh, I thought the joke was done." So
yeah, you've written with Tammy Hu before, have you?
Yeah,
and what is it like when you're with a group of comedians, and you're writing out jokes, and someone may have an idea, and then it gets refined. Whose joke is it at the end of the day?
Generally, the person will say, "Hey, I want to do a joke about water bottles," and that's how it starts. And then you go back and forth. It's very it's like anything. You help someone with something, and you kind of feel like, "Oh, I helped them with that joke." There's a few times I've helped Tammy with some jokes, and she's helped me actually with some jokes, and I think it's an even exchange, and you're all on the same page.
Angelica Singer, is that how you pronounce her name?
Yeah.
The name sounds familiar. She's worked around town, hasn't she, in terms of...
Angelica, yeah. I've met when I first started doing comedy. I did a class with David Grenier, and another one out of Langara College, and I met her there. And you just keep crossing paths with these people, and I've always sort of had a mild relationship with her, and I thought that, hey... Angelica, can you come out and do this? And she would never turn it down. Yeah. Well, actually, no, she did turn it down last year, but she was in Mexico.
Yeah, well, that's a good excuse. Yeah. The role of the host, because that's what you're going to be there. I mean, you obviously have the chance to tell your own.
Yes.
Perform your own material.
Yes.
We tend to overlook that when we go to a comedy show, because the host, you know, is just. We think of the host as just introducing the other people,
yes.
Right? But there is a method to all of this, isn't there?
Yeah. So as a host, I like to have some material. Most of the stuff will be tested already, and I might even try something I'm confident about. And you get a little chance to horse around with the audience, and you know you're really just playing a buffer out there for the comedians as well. Just you don't want to overperform, you don't want to outperform them, depending how things are set up. I mean, it's there's no rules in this game of comedy. It's you can do anything you want as long as the crowd's happy, and you can feel it when you're up there. They're energized. You feed off each other.
Is there anything that one can't make fun of? Say, I mean, I'm just thinking of the whatever's in the news that day. Probably something. I don't know. It'd probably be too soon for a Kobe Bryant joke, right?
Yeah, I think that there's a time and place for everything. Maybe if you did it nicely. It also is to the comedian, I find, if the comedian is liked by the audience, he can get away with more.
Mm.
I find some comedians may not come out of the gate liked, and they may not be able to use it just such a strong, topical, sensitive topic like that.
Does the liquor play a part? I mean, have you noticed as a performer... If the audience is well lubricated, it's easier for you? Or I mean, you also get hecklers, I'm sure.
The hecklers aren't like you think. I've yet to see a heckler really badger me in any kind of performance. I mean, the audience doesn't really care for it. The audience is like, "What are you doing?" Like, they first they think, "Oh, is this part of the act?" And then when you kind of they can see that your personality has changed on stage. They realize it quickly is not. And then they're almost, you can see why it would be thrown off. It doesn't have to be a heckler. He doesn't have to be talking. It could be a loud laugher
mm-hmm.
or somebody that, like you say, has had too much to drink. It's the alcohol. I mean, it's alcohol's alcohol. The longer the night, the more the drinking. It's like anything. It's that involves alcohol. You just be cautious with them.
Yeah, I find this fascinating because I've done some public speaking over the years, and I'm always looking for tips on how to handle an audience, or people ask me as well how to handle an audience if they have to speak in front of a crowd. It depends on the person, doesn't it? I mean, not all advice fits for everyone, right?
I think so. Yeah, I think there's some fundamentals. I mean, every time I go up there and stand behind a microphone, I can feel my nerves shoot up.
Yeah.
And I feel that what I've learned is in an acting course, that you want to harness these nerves and use them to deliver. And once I've sort of figured that out, I became a better performer. When you try, like some say, hey, you need to calm down, have a beer and calm down. Mm-hmm. Actually, that they, a lot of professionals will say, don't do that because you're kind of suppressing what you need to power yourself. It's there for a reason.
Yeah. Well, a friend of mine, Charlie Demers, I'm not telling tales out of school here, suffers from anxiety and other issues like that. And so I asked him one time when he was here, why do stand-up comedy if you're anxious, or you know what I mean? Well, it just seems to, but he says that he finds that, I don't know if it helps, but it's a feeling that something, you know, it's something that he can learn from.
Mm. It sounds like a smart guy. I think some people just jump in and they face the challenge and just to break the fear of it. I mean, I think I remember my mom telling me a story as a kid when she went to see The Exorcist, originally when they launched the movie. I can't remember what year it came out.
The 70s something, yeah.
That she had nightmares, and then what she did to get over it was she had to go and see the movie again.
Mm.
So I don't know if a comedian goes up there and bombs, and maybe he goes back up there and he needs to get over it again. Yeah, everybody's different, like you said, Joe.
Falling off a horse, it's getting back on again,
yes,
isn't it? Yeah,
precisely.
Can comedy be taught?
Yeah, I think it depends who you talk to, Joe. Some people say if people aren't funny, I think any topic can be funny. I can make a joke about this pencil beside me, and I think it's funny. You could say, oh, you know, there's an eraser on the pencil here. Why is there an eraser? Because everybody makes mistakes, right?
Was so, I supposed to laugh at that?
Yeah, so there's I didn't think you make a joke. So I think if you have the timing down and the joke has got a punchline, I think anybody can be funny. I really do.
So was this something that you wanted to do even as a kid?
I remember I was in the airport one day with my dad, and I had let go of this ribbon in the plane. We got off our plane, and the customs lineup was huge. But rather than sit and go jump in the line and go through all the ribbons, the back and forth switchbacks to line up,
yeah.
I just let go of a ribbon, and I walked right through to the front. And when I did that, this huge security guard came out, and he was so mad at me, and he got mad at my dad. He got mad at me, and my dad was like, my dad's kind of a quiet guy, and he's like, what the hell are you doing? He says, see what it is? And all of a sudden, when he said that, I saw this giant group of people behind me now following me through this ribbon. And then it wasn't funny in the moment because we were scared about this giant security guard or a customs agent that was angry. And then when I got home, my dad was laughing and retelling the story. And then I would retell the story, like this guy had come down and beating his chest, and it was funny. My dad says he'd just keep laughing at it, how I'd reenact it.
Yeah.
And that's how it got one of the things. He says, you should really just do this stand-up comedy thing. So.
But like all kids, I guess you grew up watching certain movies or television shows, and that must have had, maybe some sort of inspiration. Were there people that you liked and that you thought you wanted to do that, say?
Yeah, I would say guys like the movies Ace Ventura and stuff really were like, here's a funny guy, you know, he's making people laugh. Things like The Simpsons and stuff. It wasn't until later that I really got into like the idea of writing a joke and turning it over, having a bit of misdirections and things. I mean, look at a guy like George W. Bush. Like some of the things he said, I don't know if he was joking or mm-hmm. what, but I'm laughing.
You brought up Jim Carrey. And the fascinating thing about people like him, comedians, or people who are known to be funny, when they do dramatic films, like you look at Adam Sandler, I haven't seen that movie yet, but apparently it's very good. They know how to perform as a comedian. I guess that lends itself well for drama, doesn't it?
I've heard and read things about comedians moving in between roles like that, mm-hmm. and having a little more versatility and moving between dramatic roles and funny roles. And they say that some dramatic actors can't move into a funny role. I don't know if that's a real thing, or there's the people casting movies like, we don't want this dramatic actor playing a funny role. They're just not funny. Like Brad Pitt doesn't traditionally play a funny role.
No.
But I remember the movie Robin Williams did with...
the Robert De Niro one?
No, he was a villain in the movie with... not Robert De Niro. Al Pacino, when they were in Alaska. And it was about... I can't remember the name of the movie. For life of me. But it was a movie about... And he was the villain in it. And it was quite a surprise. Halfway through the plot, you would see him. And you were like, oh. And then he played this... Like, you weren't stunned that he was playing a villain, because he was actually playing the role.
So this event on Saturday the 15th will be at the Inlet Theater in Port Moody, which I found funny, because when you walk in there, it's like a community center. There's a library, and
it's a city hall.
It's city hall, yeah.
100 Avenue, right, sort of?
Yeah, and so that's the actual council chambers, isn't it?
That's correct.
Yeah, so I guess when the comedians in the daytime, the politicians leave, then the other comedians come in, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Is Port Moody the city where the mayor is in trouble?
Yeah, Rob is, I think he's back to work now, and I think his political opponents were waiting with that stuff for him, but I don't know. I don't know Rob, so I can't really say that I stand behind or in front of him, but I hope he's well.
The other thing I was thinking about, because I remember last year, was the audience in Port Moody, as opposed to, say, in downtown Vancouver. That's obviously a different... I mean, do you feel that you're performing for a different crowd altogether?
Yeah, Port Moody feels like a family environment. I mean, for me, I live in Port Moody, so that's... I mean, what do I say? I mean, it's a little more of a hometown discount, maybe. Vancouver is sticky. I mean, you go in and out of, you can go into a sort of a nightclub atmosphere, stand up. You can go into the traditional club like Yuck Yucks. They just closed down that comedy room on
the Comedy Garage. Mix, yeah.
Comedy Mix, and that was more like Yuck Yucks. So it's, and there's a little more rougher places where they practice open mics that will have, you know, people are testing material in these places, so you don't know what you're going to get.
What is it like for you when you're up on stage performing for an audience? Are audiences nowadays, I guess because of there's so many comedy specials and on Netflix and elsewhere, audiences seem to be savvy, aren't they, about
yes.
comedy?
Yeah, they seem, you're totally right about that. Everybody's a comedian now, Joe. maybe that's been used before, but... I mean, it's tougher, I had to find a right comedy, because you're afraid that you're going to overlap a joke.
Uh-huh.
Like, I started writing this joke today, actually. I was saying, oh, Valentine's Day, you know. And then, Cupid is a flying naked baby. And I thought, this is kind of a weird, you know, thing for, you know, love and hearts. And he has a weapon. And the whole thing was kind of is odd to me. And I thought to myself, gee, you know what? This seems too obvious, this joke. I'm going to just Google these flying naked baby, and sure enough, there was a ton of jokes in there for it.
So when you get together, the six of you,
yes.
Do you go over your material to make sure that there's nothing that, say, overlaps?
No. That's I know what you're thinking. I would never do that. I think that...
Are you listening to the first person and then...
No, most of these guys will have their sets done before they walk out in their mind.
Yeah.
I think a real polished guy can go back and forth and stuff. I'm not saying they're not But I think a lot of the comics that I have that night will have their material. They might. I mean, I've done it myself where I heard a guy go up and tell a joke about firemen or something. I'm like, oh, damn. And I'm like, that guy kind of ruined my punchline already. Yeah. So now I got to go out there and kind of shift things around a little bit. So, yeah, you got to be paying attention.
So when you have your set, what is it, a tight 5 or 8 or what is it?
For these comics, yeah. I've actually told them you'd be surprised, 8 minutes. I'm gonna tell them.
Now, is the material always in the same order, or does that change? I guess with the audience.
Not always. It is audience. It can be audience dependent. Lucky for the comedians that are coming out there, like we said, there's a bit of a buffer in the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't getting all the laughs out in the suburbs. People in the city are going to these clubs, so they're like. Like you said, they're a little more savvy. So the people, I think, in Port Moody are just happy to, you know, have something come out to them. One of the other reasons I wanted to do it there, because it's not a lot.
Yeah. What do you make of comedians who have to use cue cards in the sort? I mean, I was watching a special the other day with Joan Rivers, and she had all her cue cards, you know, on the floor of the stage in front of her. I mean, it seems to it's almost like a cheat, almost, isn't it?
I think that it's pretty hard for me to criticize Joan Rivers. I mean, if that's working for her and people are laughing, I don't see no reason it can't be done. Yeah, I mean, sure, there's this whole art piece to it, and do you got to rehearse and memorize? But, you know, I've heard how she stores her jokes. I heard she's got a filing cabinet.
Yeah.
Or stored, I should say.
Yeah.
She's still...
No, she's...
Yeah, she's gone.
Gone, yeah.
And so... She stored her jokes in a filing cabinet on cue cards and Rolodexes, and that's how she did her jokes.
There's some comics who bring out their notepad or notebook on stage, which I've seen that, and I can see why one does that. But it's also part of the act too, isn't it?
Having a prop. I think so. I don't really get it. I see really good comedians come out and do that. Maybe it's just a security blanket, but I find if I bring the notepad, I'm thinking about the notepad.
Mm.
And it kind of throws me off. So I prefer to just ad-lib a little more if I have to, rather than... And then I will come back to my jokes.
As an audience member, if I see that, I'm staring at it, or the water bottle, or, you know.
Props are... I think in the purest of comedians, they don't like props on stage. Some comedians don't like... acting on stage, they like jokes.
Yeah.
Like you write a joke, there's a punchline, and it's a setup punch, and then the joke's there. But I think that some people don't like some comedians. I went to a what they call a sort of a roast the other night, and it was comedians would go head to head with one another,
right?
At three to five jokes each, and they would roast each other. And the judges were sitting there, and they. One of them was a professional Canadian, Gavin, what's his name right now?
Crawford?
No, he's, it'll come to me.
Gavin McLeod?
No. anyway, so he's sitting there and he's judging, and he's only, I could tell that he was only judging based on setup punch, and he didn't like any of the act outs.
So this lineup is set now, isn't it? If I had a good tight 5, I couldn't get on this, right?
Well, if a comic backed out, which they kind of sometimes they do, because they can be a little flaky. None of these ones are, but I do have a backup already. One backup.
All right. So okay.
Well. You would be second, Joe. You would be second after the first. You would be in the hole.
I saw a joke on Twitter that I thought was really good. That Harry and Meghan have gone and sought advice from the Vancouver Canucks about how to live their lives without a title. Which I thought was kind of funny.
The English monarchs are asking the local sports team how to live?
Without a title, because the Canucks have never won.
I got it.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
So there you go. Now I've blew my shot, haven't I?
Did you write that, Joe?
No, I saw it on Twitter the other day.
Oh, that's not a bad one, actually. I see that.
If I left anything out? I think we've covered pretty much everything, haven't we?
We've gone over all the comics.
Yeah.
We've gone over the drinking. We've gone over the where the money's going. And, there's one big thing I like to do promote on it is there's free parking.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, a lot of people, you would be surprised how many men I say, listen, you come to this event, and then as soon as I say free parking, the whole feeling changes. I'll be there.
Yeah. And then for someone like me who doesn't drive, it's accessible by transit, right? By that new train, right?
It's train. It's right off. It's a, literally a 7-minute walk from the train.
SkyTrain. I appreciate coming in to chat. Good luck with this, Saul.
Thank you, Joe.
Can I have my job back?
Yeah, it was never on the line, Joe. There's no conditions, Joe.
Visit the eventbrite.com for tickets to Uber Comedy Saturday, the 15th of February. It's at the Inlet Theater in Port Moody. Parking's free. It's accessible by transit, even if you're from here in Vancouver. Justin Trump, join me in person here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunta.